With me now on Fresh Air is Washboard Slim and Horace Spoon Williams, and you can tell by their names what instruments they play. They've both been playing since the 1920s in carnivals, circuses, rodeos, medicine shows, folk festivals around the country. Washboard Slim has recorded with Brownie McGee and with Reverend Gary Davis, and we'll hear some more of his recordings a little later. Spoons has accompanied blues musicians, tap dancers, and string bands. In the 1950s, he also sang doo-wop and wrote a few novelty songs for doo-wop groups. He also writes poems, as we'll hear. They're going to both be performing this Saturday in Philadelphia as part of the celebration of Afro-American folklife produced by the Folklife Center at International House. That will be this Saturday, June 12th, at the Marshall Shepherd Recreation Center at 57th and Haverford. That's at 7:30. The rain date is Sunday at the same time. And for more information, you can call the International House. They're at 387-5125. Washboard Slim moved to Philadelphia in 1926, and Spoons has been here since about 1931. They've been playing together off and on since 1935. I want to welcome you both to Fresh Air, and before we talk about things that you've done, maybe you can open with a tune for us.
All right, man, why don't you say you open with a little tune there, you know? But let me say first, I'm glad to see you again, Slim. How you doing?
All right. How you?
Oh, pretty good. Where have you been, man?
Oh, man, I've been down there.
You have? Well, listen, now, you remember
in the sticks, man.
In the sticks?
Yeah, man.
Well, you remember those songs we used to sing, "We're Gonna Have a Party By and By"?
Yeah, I heard that.
Are you about ready to do that?
Yeah, man, I'm ready all the time.
All right. Well, we're gonna have a party by and by. Yeah, we're gonna have a good time by and by. We'll have a whole lot to eat and baby, try to meet. We're gonna have a party by and by. Oh, by and by, by and by. Yeah, we're gonna have a good time by and by. We'll have a whole lot to eat and there is time to meet. We're gonna have a party by and by. We'll have some fried buns of liver and some red ant stew, some fat monkey hips that we will barbecue, some French fried mosquitoes, a few baked bat tongues, some friendly seed skunks with a few sweet rat gums. Sister Nasty's gonna bake us a party cake out of grind up beetles, my man, and a hip from a snake, with an egg from an hour and the honey from a bee, with a few earthworms, my man, and a sap from a tree. Where we're gonna have a party by and by. Oh, we're gonna have a good time by and by. We'll have a whole lot to eat and there's time to meet. We're gonna have a party by and by. Oh, by and by. Some tender donkey flanks. Girls, don't worry about refreshments. There'll be a whole lot to drink. And our drinks will be made of some black panther blood. We're gonna cook over charcoal and we'll strain through Florida mud. We'll use the juice from some garlic and the sap from a pine. Stew some alligator eyeballs, boys. Brew our favorite wine, man. We're gonna have a party by and by. Oh, we're gonna have a good time by and by. We'll have a whole lot to eat and the birdies by the meat. We're gonna have a party by and by. Now listen, we don't want no empty bottles. scattered all about the floor. There'll be no fussing and no fighting, so leave your shotgun at the door. And when the music starts playing, pat your feet or clap your hands. Ain't no wallflowers in the building, come on in, everybody dance. Well, we're gonna have a party tonight. Oh, we're gonna have a good time.
Are two of the greatest surprises I've had in a long time. That was wonderful. That was very terrific.
Thank you.
You've both been playing since the 20s, I think. Maybe you could start by telling us how you got your instruments. Spoons, how did you start learning playing spoons?
Well, see, I was born so far back in the country that you had to wait hula spit off the clock to see what time it was. And back in those days, you know, they had what we call sharecroppers. And we had to play for some man that owned the plantation doing a lot of things. And sometimes I would get a bucket of lead and play. And sometimes I never could play the fiddle. I tried, but I couldn't play it. So I said, well, I got to do something. Because if I didn't play something well, they ain't going to feed me less than they feed anybody else, you know. So I just got the spoons and started, and this is where it landed.
Did you learn from someone, or did you just pick them up?
Just picked them up.
How did you start playing washboard?
Well, I got hungry one time and didn't have nothing to eat. Didn't have no money. Wasn't no money. Didn't have no money. Wasn't getting but penny or something or other. Well, I said, well, I'm going to trade me to make me some money. I grabbed my old naked rubber board and started playing a play for parties. You know, them old country dances? Started playing, and every time I'd play a piece, I'd add a piece on my board. It was for the next party. You know. So I kept on playing like that, and every time I'd play a piece, I'd add another piece on the board. I kept adding until I got up to 37 pieces. I played the board because I was hungry. When I started, got to play, then everybody come and call me, man, come on, play with me. Hey, I want you to play for my party tonight. You know what I mean? It's like that. You know what I mean? Yeah, I played for Major, what her name? Major Bowl. So I played on her show one time.
Do you want to describe for us what you have on the washboard now?
No, I got about, well, let's see, 1, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. I got 12 pieces on here now.
They're like pans and dishes.
Yeah.
And there's a horn.
That I tried to put a plate on it, but I couldn't get that one on.
Spoons, would you tell us how you both met back in, I guess it was 1935?
I think at the time we both was hungry. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Slim was doing a little show with some group there. I can't remember the name. And I happened to be outside the building playing my spoons. And he told me, say, hey, man, say, why don't you come on and play? Well, you know, he was somewhat older than I am. He's about 82 now, I think, aren't you?
Yeah.
And I'm 72. So, well, I feared if I didn't play, he might, you know, get angry and want to start a bang me around. I mean, he was much bigger than me, too. See? So I went on to start playing, and that's why I got over. The people seemed to enjoy me playing, and I've been doing it ever since.
Yeah, see, I used to play for medicine shows, too, you know. I used to play for Dr. Sprigger, Chief Red Wolf, and all of them.
Spoons, you were telling me before you were spending a lot of time just hitchhiking around,
right,
and being a hobo, really. What was that life like?
Back in those days, you know, it was pretty bad for a black man to do any kind of hoboing. Especially when you were way back there in the deep, remote parts of the South. And, well, I had to make a living. And I had no sisters and brothers. I lived from hand to hand, from my mother to my aunts and my uncles, and I did quite a bit of coal mining work. I was in another place called Clinchcoat, Virginia. When I first stopped there, I was about 13. And I left Clinchcoat and went to Roanoke. And from Roanoke, I just started messing around. Just any place I, you know, any place that I feel that I could make a living at. I've did quite a bit of farming, like following the seasons, but the average person said tramping, you know. And truthfully, it was very educational because I did learn something through my traveling. And I'm thankful to God that I survived the hard licks. And I'm capable of saying this here, and it's a pleasure to say, I'm thankful for the experience that I have. Very thankful for it.
When you stopped traveling, was it because you wanted to settle down, or were you more forced to stay in one place?
I wanted to settle down. I really wanted to settle down. And God bless me, I did marry a beautiful woman by the name of Dorothy Williams. And, we had our trials and tribulations. And we are no longer together, but we are the very best of friends. And I have 17 children. And, I'm getting the best of life that I possibly can now.
Would you do another song for us?
Another song, yeah. Hey, Slim.
Hey, man.
Let's see. What about this Abel Mabel? All right. I think I'll let you do this by yourself. I'll do the singing.
Okay. Track.
There was a gal named Mabel, he thought disabled, and one day my man in mood. They had an argument about a handsome gent whose name was Benny Boo. Now Minnie Moo told Benny Boo about disabled Mabel. She said, we ain't no kin, we're not even friends, we are just next door neighbors. Now, Benny Boo, I'm warning you, don't you ever try to get slick. Man, you never let me catch you with that old disabled chick. He said, I love you and only you, and there'll never be another. Sweetheart, can't you blame to see? She's old enough for my mother. But old Benny Boo got slick one night and went out and he bought some gin. Then he knocked upon old Mabel's door and she smiled at him in. They was drinking mash and talking a whole lot of trash when a knock come upon the door. That was a shotgun blast and the sound of glass as it splattered all over the floor. Then he jumped over the table and said, bye-bye, Mabel, and was he running fast? But old Benny Boo was not fast enough because Mabel pulled on past. Well, she had but one leg, but she was using a pig, and gee, that girl could run. There'll never be a bullet to catch her that they shoot from a gun. Get along with Mabel run. Here come a minute, the moochie with a shooting gun. Get along with Mabel run. Here come a minute, the moochie with a shooting gun. Shooting gun, she got a shooting gun.
Is there a story behind that song? Do you remember where it comes from?
Yeah, I hope the lady's not living. I don't think she is living because when I was about 9, she is around about 36. So I don't think I am incriminating myself by saying this. Her and her husband and her sister, you know, they was real close together. But Mabel had the one leg. And she didn't want nobody to know that her sister was a sister because of the fact that her sister was more in love with the husband than Mabel was, you see. So Mabel decided for herself that she was going to get to her sister because of her husband. And they had a big blowout. And like I say, Mabel wasn't playing around. She caught them. And that's what the moral of the story is. Never trust a person with one leg, especially when you know you're married to their husband. You understand? And that's how that come about.
So you wrote the song?
I wrote the song.
Did you write the first song you sang to?
Uh-huh. I have a lot of songs that I have, ballads, classics, novelties that I write. But I can't do anything with them because I don't have the right kind of connection. I mean, I know people who are capable of helping me, I can't reach them because I'm a nobody, you know, so far as they're concerned.
You were telling us before when you were on the road a lot and yes. You'd get odd jobs and farming jobs. Mm-hmm. Did you ever get musical jobs? Were you able to make much of a living with music?
Well, the highest I made at one time was the show that I did in the last festival that I did. I got $100 for that show. And that's the highest I've ever made doing any entertaining.
What about you, Washboard Slim?
I played at a show in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Played between the Whitman sisters. I made $375 one night. That's the biggest I ever got, like that, playing the show.
You've played carnivals together, and I think...
I used to play carnivals.
We had our own carnival together, but like I say, it didn't make the living that we necessarily needed, see. Like I said, I had quite a few children, and $4 or $5 a night, you know. Sometimes we were very fortunate. We, you know, when people come to visit us, they do it because they knew that we were going to be highly appreciative, and the money that we made, we always went out and tried to have a little party, something like this, yeah. And our crowd was not the muck-de-muck people. They wasn't the high-class people. They were just people in our level. And so they couldn't afford to pay this 25 or 30, whatever, you know. We just did it because we liked doing it. And we did it for another reason, because people liked to hear us do it. And I can't speak with Slim, but
No.
I can only
say... For the show, you can speak.
It wasn't beneficial enough. I just couldn't save the proper kind of living, you know, with the nourishment that they need in food. You're tired of eating black-eyed peas and lima beans. You know, sometimes you want a steak. And it was very hard to come by those days.
That's too hard for me. Couldn't eat.
Would you tell us the story of when your carnival was busted?
Yeah, the last time you and I together, we bust up when the policeman turned us loose. We was doing a show in Jersey, Atco, New Jersey. And, what happened was, people on the outside was popping their fingers. They was enjoying, and some of them was drinking, you know. And
paying them with them tom-toms, yeah, things like that. And he was louder than we was, you know.
And they loaded the van with all of us.
He had five vans.
And fortunately, he and I came out about it.
See, the man just put us, said, y'all go around there. That's the way to try that, you know, and the little fence, you know. And we stayed out there, and he locked all the rest of them up.
Why was it busted?
Me and him was the only one who got out. He's asking, what y'all do there? We said, we play. Well, y'all stand over there and play me song. So we played the song, played two of them. Now, you know what I mean? He said, get on out of here. So we come on out, went down there, go down Market Street out there. We made us some money before we got home.
Yeah.
Why was it busted in the first place?
Because of the loud tom-tom beating, you know. And
yeah, they call them the Africans, you know what I mean, playing that thing. About 25 of them together, you know. And it made all kind of sounds, you know. You could hit 10 blocks, you know what I mean? See, you couldn't hear us half a block. And see, they was using that dope stuff, too.
Yeah, you know. And this is what Well, listen, when we broke up, I don't know, I presume that Slim did some work since, but we see each other, laugh and talk, and this is our first time being together. A long time.
Mm-hmm. You write poetry in addition to Flying Spoons. Mm-hmm. Would you do one of your poems for us?
All right. I think I'll try and recite A Black Man Talks to God. My God, we are down here in a part of your world where all men are supposed to be free. But, oh, Father God, torch is being used by the still toes on shoes, and the swing is a noose in a tree. Hear, O Father, where it's dangerous to walk in daytime or night because the shadows of death is nearby. And the ropes in the trees just sway in the breeze because a black man will surely soon die. Hear, O Father, where shots in the night fill many with fright, and the baying of hounds is sure death. Yes, it's a lynching mob to do a job, but first, they'll amuse themselves. So with the wives and the daughters, they'll get their full while the husbands are tied to the bed to be found the next day in a very crude way. The husbands and their families are dead. And, oh, Father, we are all hungry for just a little knowledge, but our ignorance they try to prolong, and it just ain't no justice here for the black man. How then can he help but be wrong? You see, they close most of the schools to us down here, and we pay taxes, but afraid to vote. Now, Father, where is that great constitution that the so-called white man wrote? They just don't want us educated, but they will sell us whiskey, wine, beer, and gin, and try to destroy our character and treat black women just like men. But now, Father, just let a white woman say she's been insulted. I'll tell you they'll hang the first black man they see and will cut off his fingers for relish and drag his dead body through the streets. Sure, they'll hang any innocent black man and will laugh at his mother's tears and only because he's been accused of a crime that the white man committed for years. Oh, Father God, our churches are being bombed and our people are being hung and high shares for dogs are being paid to use blackjacks and lead on our people's head, but for this no arrest will be made. If so, what's the use? They'll just turn them loose and will pin golden medals on their chest and then hire some others because those other brave brothers will be sent out of town for arrest. Oh, Father God, the grass turned red from the blacks who are dead. And I'll tell you, it is a shame. Every way we turn, we be doing the same old thing. You see, we works in our fields every day for pennies from dawn to dusk, but when the days are over, not even thanks is given us. And, oh, God, they tie us the stakes down here and they tear our flesh with their whips. And we are fed like hogs and shot down like dogs and they dare us to part our lips. And, Father God, you know, we are made to fight in all their wars. And they teach us to shoot their guns, but as soon as they have won a victory, you know that our wars has just begun. Because the same soldiers that we fought beside to bring them a victory, oh, God, there's some of the same who hide behind sheets and destroy our family. You know, Father God, they seem to forget those days and nights when bullets zoomed about our heads and we all smoked from the same cigarette and we ate off the same piece of bread. Now, Father, I want you to hear me. And please consider this black boy's prayer and build a high neon sign in heaven stating that you'll have no discrimination up there. Thank you.
When did you write that?
Well, I wrote that, long years ago.
It's interesting to me, the songs that you sang before were really, you know, kind of up-tempo, and your poetry really is very striking and about very tragic and sad things that have happened to you. Are either one of those more of, do either one of those express the way you feel more fully?
If you're asking, do I hate anyone? No, I don't hate anyone. No. I love everybody, you see. But then there are times, like I say, you know, a lot of times when you're hurt inside, it's best way to let it outside. And then once you let it outside, if you let it outside in such a way that it harms nobody, you understand me? Then you can tell everybody.
I want to thank you both very much for your music and also for your poems.